Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're in chapter 11. We're going to start again just because it's relatively short and it's a picture of the Mashiach. It's important just because it's a subject that interests people so much, the Mashiach. Certain groups have publicized it. The Christians and the Lubavitchers have made somewhat a religion around it to some extent. And therefore it's important to know what the original concept was. What does it say? The nature of it is, it's very interesting, is that through much of time, people that have gone into messianism, I guess that's the word, have gotten into Mashiachistan, have gotten too far into it, have ended up straying away from Judaism. In other words, like we believe there's two views. One is that the Mashiach will be a miraculous type of supernatural kind of person, Superman, and the other view is that no, he'll just be a regular person, flesh and blood, who will be a very good leader. And the Rambam just says that the Mashiach, it'll be, we won't have to worry about the Gentiles, we won't have to worry about the UN, we won't have to worry about missiles, but life will go on the same as it is now. We'll just have, like, we'll stop fighting with each other and we'll just have good leadership. He doesn't learn it in a dramatic, you know, superstar kind of way. He learns it very, very basic. But for whatever reason, because mankind has a lot of challenges and there is a lot of suffering and a lot of difficult times, people always look for the Mashiach. They always look for the salvation. And for some reason, there have been a lot of false messiahs. I don't know if it's a lot, but every few hundred years, somebody appears and claims to... they say in Jerusalem there's even a mental sickness where people think they're the Messiah. They come to Israel, and some of them had been perfectly normal until they got there, and something about being there and about they learned the Bible their whole lives, and they get there, and then they just have a dream or something. And I've read about these people. I haven't actually met them, although I could be I have met them. You know, there are people that are out there carrying signs. You know, it's somewhat challenging from that extent, but I would say that it makes it very clear. In other words, from Yeshaya, it should be clear what the Mashiach is. And so whenever somebody comes to you and says, you know, how come you don't believe in my Messiah, or why isn't this one the Messiah, or so we don't have these kind of questions. It's very simple. When the Messiah comes, we'll know him. And he hasn't been here. The lion isn't lying down with the lamb. It hasn't happened yet. So let's see what it says. V'yotze chote migeza Yishai. It says the Messiah will be, so to speak, a chip off the block of the family of Yishai. In other words, if you read about all of the good kings from the house of David, you read about the great things that they did, their dedication, their thinking of Hashem, putting others first, the taking the cause of the poor, and of the good things that we've seen from the kings of the house of David. So the Mashiach will come from that line. He'll be in that mold. And actually today we don't know the Mashiach's name, but we say Mashiach ben David. He's going to be a son of David. That's that much we know. He's going to be in the image of David. V'netzeh mishosh of Yifra. And he'll sprout out from those roots. It's like a... now, it implies that... it won't be like a big branch that we've been expecting it. It'll like sprout out. It'll just start. Sometimes you have a tree, and all of a sudden something will start growing out of the twig, you know, further. It's almost like some point in history, it'll just start sprouting out this chip off the, you know, descendant of the house of David. Now, what will happen to this person? V'nocha olav, it'll rest on him. Very interesting word. The word noach means like... resting upon it means it'll stay with him. It's not like just he'll have a vision and it'll just fly. It means that Hashem's spirit will be with him. There'll be a spirit of Hashem on him. And it describes it as, it's really six things here. It says, Ruach Chachma, it has wisdom. Now, wisdom is the starting point, and then you need to have Bina. Bina is what they call intuition, but it comes from the Hebrew word bona, to build. It means where you take that wisdom and you use it. There's some people that they know information, but they don't act on that information. Then that information goes lost. You need to have a bina. That's using it yourself. Now, also, there are other people that need your help. And some people are capable of doing things on their own, but they can't help other people. He'll have ruach etza. He'll be able to advise people. He'll be able to be there for other people and give them etza, which means he'll be able to tell them what should you do, right? That's what we need, is a leader that gives us etza. Then it describes ugvura, strength. Usually, it doesn't mean physical strength, to carry the leadership and but it needs to be a strong ugvura. And then it says ruach das v'yiras Hashem. It's interesting that we started off with chokma, and then we get bina, and then we get etza, gvura, das, and then yiras Hashem. It really would be a bigger study than is mentioned here. What these different types of wisdom are. The one thing it finishes off with is that when a person is very great, sometimes they think they're God. That's been the downfall of most great people, that they become too arrogant, they believe too much in themselves, they lose their humility. Really, Yosef is the best example of a really great person, that it doesn't go to his head. Like, he's made second to the king, and he's still he has that fear of Hashem. People are trying to seduce him, and it would be a sin against Hashem, or he's thinking about his brothers, or in other words, this person will have the awe of Hashem. As great as he is, all these things that he has, he's got gvura, he's got brilliance, he's got this, he's got that, but he finishes off the yiras Hashem. He fears Hashem. He sees himself as in awe of Hashem, just doing Hashem's bidding. It doesn't go to his head. That's the that's an important thing about the Mashiach. Really about all gifts that Hashem gives people, that they have it with the fear of Hashem. When we bench Rosh Chodesh, that's one of the things we ask for. We ask for osher and wealth and honor and all good things, and then we finish off in fear of Hashem, because you can have all the blessings in life, but then sometimes it can ruin a person. And so the blessing is that a person doesn't become that great that they forget, who needs Hashem? I could do it all on my own. No, the yiras Hashem, that's the beginning and the end here. So that's describing the qualities of the Mashiach. Now, many people will come in front of him that want to join the team or that will need something. And people are not always what they seem. Sometimes people are fakers, sometimes they're phony, sometimes they try to corrupt. There are great people that were surrounded with yes people, that people that try to get around leaders and tell them what they think they want to hear. The Mashiach is going to have to be able to tell who's sincere, who's not. So it describes it like a sense of smell. It says, this one says it animated, but the Hebrew word bahariach, the reason why smell is interesting is you don't see smell, it's a sense. In other words, when you smell something, you're picking up on something. It's not by the appearance, it's some other form of knowledge that you have about it that tells you it smells good, it doesn't smell good, it smells, So there's a sense with people also. There's an interesting thing that certain people have that they get a sense about people. And most people get a sense about, but they're not always right. But there's certain people that are on the mark. You gotta, those people are great if they're hiring people, it's hard to know, what that is, but there's certain people that they have a good sense about people. They're able to pick up, so it describes the Mashiach will have that. There was a great person named Bar Kokhba, the son of a star, who that was his nickname, who lived in the times of Rabbi Akiva, and the Jewish people were having a very difficult time with the Romans. And the Jewish people were very fragmented, and he united the Jewish people, and initially they reconquered the area where the Beis HaMikdash was, and were going to rebuild Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Akiva at first thought he might be the Mashiach. And what happened was, the Gemara tells the story, there was a great sage that used to pray every day for the Jewish people and that they should be successful against the Romans. And his merit was keeping us going. And that, by the way, is also something that we never know. Sometimes we think, oh, maybe I won't daven today. Do you know, maybe your davening is what's keeping people alive? Do you know, it might be helping the Jewish, it might be safeguarding the Jewish. Like, we never know whose prayers really count. You don't know how precious they may be. So his prayers were the really strong prayers. And they were trying to get the king to go against the rabbis, to get Bar Kokhba to go against the rabbis. So they had somebody who was like a an informer or somebody from the, I think it was a one of the Sadducees or the, come and whisper something into his ear, like he was telling him like secrets about the enemy. And he was in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, so he didn't hear it. And the king had seen that, and he decided that his agents told him that he was spying for the other side, and he was secretly against Bar Kokhba. And Bar Kokhba had him put to death. This convinced the people at the time that he was not the anointed one of Hashem, because he really misjudged this person, this pious person. He didn't have that sense as to who was right and who was not. There were other signs as well that the sages began to feel that he was not the one. So that's what it described. Haricha b'yiras Hashem, and he has that smell. He has that. This one just says animated, but again, the Hebrew means he gets a sense about things. He's able to discern what is the right thing, and that discerning is with the fear of Hashem. V'lo lamar vein av yishpat. And he doesn't judge by appearances. That's so important. People are not, things aren't the way they seem. We're so, our society is into judging a book by its cover. Everything is packaging. Everything, I'm involved in the food industry, and the they spend a lot of time on the appearance, you know, presentation. they figure out, the food doesn't, it's not enough to taste good. It's good if it tastes good, but you have to have the right colors on the plate. And it has to be arranged a certain way, and you can't have like drops of gravy, and the room has to be pretty and has to have the right ambiance. And when you're, if you put all of that together, the people enjoy themselves more. They feel like, wow. But you know something? You go in the back, it's the same food we're eating. It's the same Empire chicken and the same, you know, the chef. But you got the appearances. It person feels, wow, you know. And also, when you pay a lot, you got to enjoy yourself more, because I paid so much for this food. So it must be it's much better or different. So he won't be able. He won't judge by appearances. And it's very difficult also, and this is really why we're not judgmental, and only Hashem really can judge people, because Hashem knows what people are capable of. He knows who's trying and who's not, and we have no right to, you know, Hashem is the judge, not us. So he's saying that he doesn't judge by appearances, he doesn't just chastise because he heard something. V'lo l'mishma aznav yochiach. His judgment will be v'shapet v'tzedek, and he will judge righteously. Yes.
Word to smell. Which verse is it in? Because in my translation.
Oh, three. The first word, reyach.
Okay. With it, he will. Oh. Okay.
It's interesting in Hebrew. The word smell, reyach and ruach, and wind and smell are very similar. But that we say reyach nichoach. I have a good reyach. It's like a good smell. But he's going to judge righteously, and he's going to take care of the poor, v'chiyach b'mishur, and he's going to rebuke those that need rebuke, and he's going to rebuke the humble, he's going to rebuke the people that... I think over here when it says he's going to rebuke the humble, it doesn't mean he's going to rebuke the humble, he's going to rebuke for the sake of the humble. And he's going to lay down the law, and his stick is going to be his mouth. In other words, when he gives an order, it's like it says with the stick of his mouth, but it means that it's going to be like people are going to follow it. Bruach Sfas of Yamis Rasha. And just by saying something, it's going to destroy the wicked. Verse 5. The Hayut Tzedek Azer Masav, and he's going to belt himself with righteousness. Ve'emuna Ezer Chalutzav. And faith. Faith is a very important thing. We don't discuss faith a lot. We probably should discuss it a little more. Faith is a hard thing to learn. Like, it's a certain you pick it up from certain people, or you get faith. I don't know how you teach faith. That's a good question. You know, that faith is going to be part of. We talk about when people do things. A lot of times we do things that we don't know how it's going to work out, but we have faith. We have it's like a trust. That's what the word emuna means. I have a trust. I know Hashem has been here for me. All, you know, the. It's funny. I'm in charge of a payroll. Like, you know, I have an office and a payroll. And every month it comes by, and I say, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know. And somehow the checks come in, and you know, they somehow it works out. You get money from this one, money from that one. But we have to have faith. Like, you know, things will work out. I always surprise myself. You know, we've all made it until now. So why am I worried about tomorrow? You know, like what? You know, every day you wake up, you feel good. You know, you're here. So where's our faith? You know, Hashem has been so good to us. Why are we worried that all of a sudden it's going to just? You know, that's the. One thing they say about living in Israel is that being that close to Hashem, their faith is much stronger. You meet people with that. You feel that. Okay, verse 6. The Ger Ze'evim Kevesh, and the wolf who normally destroys the sheep, all of a sudden is going to lie down with the sheep. He's going to destroy the violence in the world. He's going to destroy. There's the idea that when mankind becomes corrupt, the animal world becomes corrupt around him. And that's what happened during the flood, and that's why a lot of the animal world was destroyed during the flood as well. And when mankind does what he's supposed to, the animals do what they're supposed to. Even the when man learns to live with his fellow man, so then the animal world will learn to live with the family. You know, will also be influenced by that. And the little child, usually animals, you know, when they see a little child, and especially a little child isn't necessarily delicate with those animals, he'll have nothing to be afraid of. I'm not sure why there's several examples. I'm sure if, in other words, like the wolf with the lamb and the leopard and the kid and the calf and the lion, I'm sure each one has some unique reason why we need several examples of the, you know, the same, but it's a similar concept. It could be, you know, it'll be like there are many different enemies, you know, different peoples that have fought with each other, and it's implying that all these different antagonists will be able to work it out somehow. Republicans with the Democrats, you know, this one with that one, that, you know, it's an interesting world. You know, here Syria is tearing each other apart, and we all thought that they loved each other, you know, that they were all, it was all one country, and was all, and it didn't take much, and they're just killing each other, you know. Verse 7. Opar, and the cow and the bear, Tirena Yasov, Yirbitsun Yaldeha, Va'aryeh Kabocha Yotavon, even different people that used to take advantage of other people or had to be afraid of other people, they no longer will have to be afraid. 8. Vishisha Yonik, and the, it's an interesting word, Vishisha. It means like, a child plays, like it's describing like a little child is going to play. Al Chor Pustin, he's going to play by the hole of a snake, or Siponi, or right on top of very deadly creatures. Ugmul Yadav Hadad, in other words, usually a child can't play with things that bite or things that'll attack, and now all of a sudden the world will be a safe place. Can you imagine, you know, where there's so many things that we have to do. I mean, remember when I first put the lock on the shul, it really took me a while. Now we're so used to it. Of course, you can't get into the shul until you do the password. But it just was a shock that I can't go to shul without knowing a code to get into, you know, the shul. You always went to shul. You never had to worry. In Europe, they have a guard in every shul. Yeah, they have, most of Europe, they have guards in order to get into, and they need it. It's necessary. There'll be safety. Below 9, below year, below Yishkisu, Bekol Harkachi, they won't hurt anywhere on Hashem's holy mountain, which is the Beis HaMikdash, is described as the holy mountain. Now, this pasuk here is very common many people, there's a custom that we always hope things to get better. That's the internal optimism of the Jew. And there's a custom when a person gives a talk to finish off on a high note. And the custom goes back to the Haftorahs. The Haftorahs that we have, some of the Haftorahs didn't necessarily say things that were that good. There are Haftorahs that talk about destruction and bad things. But the custom is we always finish a Haftorah on a high note. Even if they had to borrow a different Haftorah and plant it at the end, at the wrong place, we'll do it. Because you never finish off on a negative note. You always want to finish off in a positive way. And that's the Jewish custom. Going back to the Haftorah, that's 2,000 years ago. But to this day, when most rabbis speak, they finish off, most rabbis, anybody, they try to finish off in a positive note. And the most positive we can get is that it will lead mankind to its perfection in solving all the problems. So one way of saying that is, you know, that the Mashiach should come b'mheira v'yameinu, speedily in our times. Another way that you'll hear, and if you didn't know this pasuk, you'd never know that's what they're saying. They quote this verse right here in the middle of 9. Ki mala ha'aretz deya es Hashem. That the they'll finish off, may we see the blessing, or that the earth should be filled with the knowledge of Hashem, as much as there's water in the sea, it's covered. In other words, that for some reason that's a popular blessing to people. That's like saying the machine. We live in a time where there's people don't they lack knowledge or they lack understanding, and there's war, and so they'll finish off ki mala ha'aretz deyas Hashem. May the land be full of the. It just became very popular. I don't know, the certain rabbis just love to finish off with that. Ki mala ha'aretz deyas Hashem kamayim liyam echasim, and just the there's a certain idea that what the world lacks is a certain knowledge. If people would only know what we know, right? Nobody wants to be bad. They're just lacking in knowledge. So if they would just have a little bit of understanding, when the world will be full of the knowledge of Hashem, just like the water covers the seabed, so then everything will be good. That's you'll often hear that. Verse 10. V'haya b'yamahu shorosh yishaya sh'omer l'nei samin. And it first describes the Mashiach and the Jewish people, and then it says it'll be a sign really for the nations. Really, the whole world will come to a recognition. And the Goyim, not only the Jews will turn to him, the Gentiles will turn to him. He'll be an international speaker. Yidrishu v'haisim enuchasa kavod. And his peace will be with honor, or where he'll be worldwide respected by everybody. Verse 11. V'haya b'yamahu Yosef Hashem Shevi Siyad Aliknus. Now, very interesting too. Today we have this, that we have people that are Jewish, and we know where they are, and there are a lot of people that are Jewish who don't who you don't see. You would never know they're Jewish. They don't identify as Jews, and or maybe in their hearts they are. So it describes that initially, when Mashiach comes, there'll be a lot of Jews that'll come back. But there'll be a second comeback. In other words, on that day, there'll be a second Yosef Hashem Shenis, the second time, Liknos Eshar Amo, to get our people back. It gives us hope, because we all have those relatives that like just disappeared into the rat race. They married out, and they assimilated, and you don't see them anymore, and they don't identify as Jews. And the Mashiach's going to come, most people come at the first call. But you know, there's always people that are too busy, they don't come at the first call. But at the second call, he's going to get the rest of them, Eshar Amo. And where are these people? These people are scattered all over the world. Yishur, Me'asher, Mitzrayim, Me'pisros, Me'kush, Me'elam, Shinur, Mechmes, Mehi, on the islands, you name it. You're going to find, wherever you go, you'll find a Jew somewhere who's just gotten far away from things. And I used to joke in Russia that when they first let the Jews go to Israel, so there'd be like the last Jew in this city, and then whenever the last one would leave, there'd be another last Jew. Like, it's almost like they just come out from somewhere. They're just there. 12. V'hayu neis l'goyim v'asaf nidkei Yisrael. He's going to gather those that have been pushed away. whether the Unefutos Yehuda and the ones of Yehudi, Kabbetz Me'arba Kanfus, there's two groups. The ten tribes were sent away and the Yehuda was sent into exile. And he's going to gather not only from the first exile, which from Yehuda, which is the more recent one, but he's even going to go further back to the... Now, the truth is there are those that feel the Ethiopians are from the... if it's true that many of them came originally from Jews, which I think most people believe there was some Jewish blood there, even though it's not so clear. The some people feel they're a different race, even though it's not but it could very well be that these were people that were descended from the ten tribes, and they now are living in Israel. So we're actually seeing that blessing take place in our time, that Jews who are so distant from the Jew, they've been separate from the Jewish people for hundreds of years, are now coming back. Now, the only problem that we're going to have is, how do you bring all the Jews back to one country, and how are they going to get along? So that's what he says here, verse 13. He has to speak it out, right? Because we all know Jews are Misar Kinnis Ephraim and Misar Yehuda. And so Ephraim, there were some Jews who were from Ephraim who were jealous. They didn't like the way Yehuda had. The Tzorei, the competitors, Yikares Ephraim, Lo Kan. Guess what? There's going to be no more jealousy. Ephraim won't be jealous of Yehuda. The Yehuda, Lo Atzeres Ephraim. You won't have any of this internal infighting, you know, the two Jews and three synagogue type kind of thing. You just, it's going to go away. That's also part of it. It's interesting that it could be, you know, the lying down with the lamb, that, you know, that wasn't enough. We even, you know, Jews aren't even going to fight anymore. That's the blessing. Okay. Verse 14. Now, once that's taken care of, what do you got to worry about? The Palestinians. Okay, right? Yeah. So, we'll take care of that too. Vafu b'kasa plishtim, we'll get rid of the plishtim. Yachta. It's interesting also that the neighbors in Israel have never been our friends. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. That we could have countries near, you know, like the U.S., we like Canada, Mexico, we get along okay, you know. Israel has always had bad neighbors. I don't know what it is, you know, it's just that part of the world. So he says that Hashem will, the Mashiach will lead us against these, take care of the Plishtim, Ubazeth B'nei Kedah, the people in the east, Edom, Moab, Meshok, Yadav, B'nei Ammon, Mishmad, all those nations will be taken care of.
So it doesn't mean that they'll come to the Mashiach. It means they have to be conquered.
Yeah. Something like that. Now, there'll still be... Mm-hmm.
My translation here in verse 14 says, and they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines on the west. What's the thing? Fly down.
Send their missiles.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Hebrew is from the word oaf, which is like a bird is an oaf. The first word in the verse 14 is va'afu. From the word like bird, or like to fly. And sometimes when you go very fast, you say, I'm flying. So it could doesn't necessarily mean through the air. It could just mean very quickly we will conquer them. But the translation I see is on the side. It'll turn to the side of the Plishtim, towards, like the, that's the way this means, like the, usually kusav means shoulder, like
so
on
my translation says.
Mine says of one accord. I don't have no idea what that means. You sometimes run into these words and you just don't know where they, you know, what were they thinking, where they come from in the translation. So the way I understand it, what it means is that when the Jews will come back and they won't fight amongst each other, then they'll be able to very quickly, va'afu, they'll be able to fly because if on the side and take care of the neighbors in the land of Israel that were always a thorn in our side. They'll take care of the Plishtim and together at the same time they'll take care of the other nations, Edom and Moab and all those nations that were always sticking their hand out to attack us. They will be they will finally be taken care of, all of the nations that we had trouble with. Now it describes it's very interesting too, because in our time we see Israel at war and we're here and we don't understand it, aren't we Israel? So like, you know, what's so the Mashiach almost describes this war going on and then it describes the rest of us coming back. So it implies there's like some people there, they'll fight the battle, and then we'll be able to come back. That's what it describes over here, which is just, it's just so interesting because it's why we feel that we're close to the Mashiach, because we see some of those things happening very... So what it describes here is the following. How will everybody come back if they have to travel through the water? You know, the Israel, their places, the Jews in Europe and other places, how are they going to get through the water? So it says that Hashem will dry up the sea. V'hekrem Hashem es lashon yam mitzrayim. Vein if yado, and he'll like, you know, play with the winds. And all of a sudden there'll be like seven paths that people will be able to go through in an area that used to be water. They'll be able to travel through it wearing their shoes. Now, as you say, yeah, travel through water, you could swim, but it says you'll be able to travel to Israel through... Now, it could mean you can fly there, but here it's describing like the seabed will be dry. There's an idea here also that the first time we came into Israel, there was a splitting of the sea. This time it'll be even more miraculous than the miracle of going out of Egypt, and the sea will like split into sevens. Like there'll be seven paths through. So that's what it's described. Vais Mesihu Lishar Amo. And this path, verse 16, will be for the rest of us. Now, I thought Mashiach already announced. He already came, but not everybody will come right away. There'll be those that, you know, are still out in the different countries. So the rest of us will come from Asher, Yasher, Meyasher, Kasher, Haist, Israel. And just like we went up from Mita, Miyam, Alstom, Eretz, Mitzrayim. And that's what the... will happen on that time. Let's begin 12. Are we okay? We can go a few more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Marta, but you know, the truth is it deserves its own, but lately what we've been doing is a little bit of review the next week, if we end up doing that. And this is like the perfect one for Hanukkah, by the way, which is the Hanukkah is the holiday of Thanksgiving, Hodos Lahalos. So, since we're just at it, so what will happen after all of this, after the Mashiach comes back, and after the Jews are brought back, and after we defeat our enemies? So, Amartem Bayomahu Odcha Hashem. On that day, we will finally be able, we will say thanks to Hashem. It will be a big thanksgiving. Ki anafta bi yashiv afka v'tachmeni. Hashem was angry with us. That's why we were sent out to Gullus in the first time. But now Hashem's anger has turned away. In other words, we're really hoping for that. We were Hashem's chosen people, and Hashem showed us His special love. And we sinned, and we were thrown out. And Hashem has been angry with us. And that's why we've had so many difficulties throughout the exile. And so Hashem was angry with me. Now His anger is turned away, and He's going to comfort us. Now the next part is in the Havdalah. Hinei kel yeshuasi. How am I going to be saved? That's through Hashem. Eftach, I have trust. V'lo efchad, I don't need to be afraid. Why? Ki azi v'zimrasko, because Hashem is with me. And I will sing to Hashem, and that's my salvation. My trust in Hashem, that's what's going to save me. Ushaf demayim v'sason, and I will pour water in joy. Could be this means tears of joy. We also have the celebration in the Beis HaMikdash known as the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the pouring of the water. Water also is like wisdom is described as water. The water is opening. There'll be waters poured. It means that we will get spiritually growth. There'll be the waters will pour like it's described just like there are wells down here that sustain crops and help the world grow. There's also spiritual wells. There's a lot of idea where Isaac is always digging wells that his father dug. That means that he's going to dig the spiritual wells there. So there's an idea that these wells will open up and will be inspired. And so on that day we'll have the wells of salvation. And verse 4, V'amarta b'yamu hodu l'Hashem k'u ishmo. And those that call out to Hashem will praise Him and will teach the Gentiles. Hodi ba'amim, you'll tell the Gentiles about Hashem, His kiyu, kinisk of Shemo, and they'll teach Him how great Hashem is. Verse 8, Zamru Hashem, sing to Hashem, ki geus, look at the amazing things He's done. Made as though, let it be known throughout the land. And especially, verse 6, Sally, those that live in Zion will be the ones that will really sing Hashem's praises. Ki gadu b'kir, because they will have experienced the real miracle. Those living in the land of Israel, they'll know what they were up against. And so when the Mashiach comes, they will be the first ones to sing these praises, Kadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. That's the, isn't that a beautiful,
yes,
that's not something to rent through. Short but sweet.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.